come on out now and free your mind. Good morning, and you will find something out there that'll change your mind. You were right, there's nothing to see, but if you don't
Dale Mack with his aptly titled song, Good Morning, and good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Stuart McKee, and this is Musicians FAQ.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody else.
My guest this week is Dale Mack. He's a roots rock blues songwriter, and he's from White Bear First Nation in Saskatchewan. He's a great storyteller, and he's a soulful guitar player. My guest this week on Musicians FAQ is Dale Mack. Dale, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invite.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. As I was saying before the show, I don't know a whole lot about you as an artist yet. I caught you on an interview with Rhonda Head, and I was really impressed, and I thought I'd reach out. Today we're talking about Dale Mack and his music. So I always like to go back to the very beginning. There's no rocket science about the questions that I ask. It's just a casual conversation. So where were you born and what was your childhood like?
I was born in Saskatchewan, small town Broadview, just outside of my late parents' home reserve, which is a bit north of there, Kakawishtahow First Nation. That's where they were living when I was born. Later in my years, I started grade one in White Bear First Nation in a nearby town, Carlisle, Saskatchewan. Okay. So small communities in the southeastern corner of Saskatchewan.
Nice. Now, I'm not that familiar with Saskatchewan. I've been west. I lived out in BC, and I remember it being flat, but beautiful. And people talked about, you know, the prairies being so flat and, you know, the excitement is the mountains and things like that. And I was like, you know, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. And I thought there's beautiful colors. And we stopped at about 2 a.m. just to kind of stretch our legs. We were driving all night and got a glimpse of the Northern Lights. And we stood there just hypnotized under those Northern Lights for probably an hour in the middle of nowhere, just staring up at the sky. But, you know, we'd pass through Saskatoon and a few towns and things like that. I'm not even sure. I can't remember at this point if we, I think we did stay overnight somewhere, but tell me a little bit more about the province itself.
The province is kind of, as you described it, in the southern half, there's a lot of farm fields, a lot of different colors like canola, flax, wheat, you know, all the colors of the earth there, green grass, also pasture, golden harvest colors in the late summer. Yeah. Usually around now we start seeing that. The southern half, there's a lot of rolling hills, a little bit of oases here and there, like my home community. There's a provincial park, Moose Mountain Provincial Park. Quite the oasis. There's rolling hills and whatnot and lakes everywhere, fishing and whatnot. So in the central half, going north, that's where you get into more shield area. You're seeing more pine forests, Canadian shield, cliffs, rocks, beautiful country in the northern half of the province. It's quite beautiful. A lot of people that I've interviewed with or met over the years, they would say kind of the same thing. Wow, it's so flat over there. And I go, yes, but I'm one of those guys who I like my views, you know. Yeah. I love the mountains, but after spending maybe 2 weeks in the mountains a few years ago, I felt like I needed to drive into Calgary away from the mountains just to see for miles.
Right.
Maybe it's just in my blood now, but I need to be able to see for miles when I go home.
Yeah, like the Hutong, I can see for miles. You know, it's funny though, my dad said the mountains made him feel very claustrophobic, and you know, I can relate to that. It's a little bit overwhelming, and I agree with you. I like the space. I like to be able to see for miles, and I thought it was just beautiful country, and I'd always intended going back. So getting back to the family and things, so were your parents, family members musical?
Not so much as I really dove into it. My older brother, he kind of introduced me into music inadvertently. He was quite the music collector. He'd have all these different cassettes and records in his room and CDs. There'd be like heavy metal and death metal, and then there would be like AC/DC and Zeppelin.
Nice.
And there would be Nazareth, this electronic computer noise he later described as industrial music, and
right,
it was just all new to my ears, and I was just absorbing everything that I could. My parents weren't as musical. My father was he used to be in a powwow drum group, so they would sing our traditional songs at powwows and things like that, and they would practice upstairs in our living room sometimes on weekends. So he was musical that way in preserving language and culture.
Right.
My mother, she grew up in the 50s. She was born in the mid 30s, so her musical taste was the 50s pop, you know, like the Everly Brothers and things like that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So where did your interest come into music then? I mean, you obviously have different sounds in the or listening to your music, and I said I'm just getting more and more familiar with it, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have sort of those influences that you talked about with your brother. So where did, I mean, who are the big influences for you, and what was sort of the gateway for you into music? Was there a song or an artist or mm-hmm. something that just triggered that, and you said, yeah, this is what I want to get into?
Yeah, I think one of the first songs I ever heard was that like, how did he make that sound? It would have been Black Dog by Zeppelin.
Right.
It yeah. was on a radio station that we picked up because our house was on a hill, so we could pick up the radio stations in the U.S. at the time. So I would hear a lot of Zeppelin songs, AC/DC as well, the Highway to Hell album on the air, and I would try my best to listen and tune in.
Very cool. I actually just heard a girl on TikTok last night playing Black Dog on the banjo. It was wow. the craziest thing. I'm a huge Zeppelin fan. Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's the same for me. I think like your brother, I listen to everything. But there are, I go through phases. I mean, you know, there's certain types of music that I keep coming back to. So when did you actually, you know, pick up a guitar? Was the guitar the first instrument that you picked up?
The guitar was the first instrument I picked up around 12 years old, when I was really studying and watching guitarists. one of the more compelling players that I've seen was Clapton. I was never a huge Clapton fan, but I do give him props for his style. He really did influence a generation or generations. And I would see these videos of him just slowly moving his hand across the guitar and all these noises were coming out. I was like, how did he do that? And then I kind of understood when I was later why they called him Slow Hand. He just moved his hand slowly and all these noises would come out.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and my first introduction to Clapton, my brother had bought the Slow Hand album, but I think the song that was on the radio and that I heard was Lay Down Sally, and it seemed really mellow. And I remember a buddy of mine's older brother or cousin saying, you know, Clapton's like a guitar god. I'm like, really, that guy? Like, what? So then I dug in and started listening to the rest of the album, and then I went back and heard Cream, and then I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But yeah, I've been a huge devotee of Clapton. I mean, his bending is just incredible. His tone is incredible. And he's kind of a bridge with a lot of the old traditional blues and black music, you know, to new generations as the Stones and other bands were. What about the first song that you wrote? Do you remember that?
The first song I wrote would have been in a band I was in back in early 2001. It was my first shot at being a guitarist in a trio. I was the only guitarist. Okay. So I just had this little riff going through my head. It was in drop D, and I just going da 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 da. It kept going down, so I ended up putting it to guitar. And I just repeated that, and that became one of our first songs we wrote as an indigenous band in the early 2000s. Our singer was from the northern communities where English was not really the primary language. It was, but not so much. They really embraced the preservation of language, which I'm really respectful of his ability to speak fluent Cree. So a lot of his lyrics and singing were in his first language, Cree. So that was one of my first songs I wrote with that band back then.
Nice. Yeah, that's incredible. Is the guitar I shouldn't say the only instrument, because it's enough, but I mean, do you play other instruments?
Yeah, just bass. It's pretty much just a guitar with four strings. That's the way I approached it. I know there's a different theory to it and different science to it, but I never really dove into it as much. I treated it as a guitar missing two strings, and I would play less chords with it and just follow along with the songs that I wrote or my favorite songs like Metallica and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's common for guitar players to kind of pick up the bass, but there's a difference between us as guitar players playing bass and an actual bass player, and there's nothing better than a guy who's actually a bass player. But I use it more as a writing tool when I'm recording at home, just to kind of fill out the sound a little bit and get that that extra little bottom end. And were there other bands that you'd played in since, or when did you finally go solo?
Indifference was the first band we did. That band, we went on tour, we had albums and things like that. It was a really hard market to get into in Southern Sask. It was unheard of at the time. Our band, we persevered until spring of 2012, I want to say. And then that fall, I formed another mainstream band, iAutomatic, because I was kind of new to living in Regina from a small community. So we formed a mainstream band, picked up on mainstream style of writing, rock radio, things like that. Had a few surprise great gigs. You know, we opened up for a Conline Crush, One Bad Son, played some different cool gigs as well with Bleecker Ridge, put out a single. Things didn't last too long. I think it was too fast. It moved too fast for some people. So things kind of parted, but it was already in my DNA by that time from having experience. So from then I taught myself to sing, along with my guitar playing. So it was around 2013 when I put out my first single.
Saturday nights, all along I thought we had it right. Get a ticket notice when my heart began to change.
something to say. Well, I was looking for something better than this. These memories, they won't let me forget. I just have to regret, I guess I have to regret. How far would you drive? How far would you go? Something to see, yeah, you were something to see. How far would you drive? How far would you go?
Dale Mack with Small Town Nowhere. Now, what are some of the challenges that you find in Saskatchewan? I mean, is it a real, I mean, a lot of communities, my community certainly has gone through different transitions where we really supported live music and there's lots of venues and then we kind of had a downturn. And I think it's starting to try to get back to that. Where was there a lot of clubs and a lot of places to play, a lot of support for live music and local bands? Or did you have to kind of go outside your town and outside the province to really get gigs and
Early on, before the Junos came in 2013, it was that scenario. You really had to know somebody. They had to trust you. They had to be sure that you were going to bring in business. And you really had to fight to get fair pay for a band. By, you know, first starting out, the theme was exposure, free fries or free pop or whatever. When the Junos came to town, it really inspired a community to come out as a whole and say, hey, we want to do that too. We want to have a scene too. We want to bring the Junos back. So I was part of a new generation of venues and bands coming together and saying, come out, fill our venue, bring your friends, and just have a good time. And those good time nights or parties became album release shows. They became tours. They became local circuits for bands. Playing 4 or 5 nights a week sometimes. It was really a scene explosion from 2013 to, 2017, 2018.
That's cool. That's awesome. Well, I guess it's good that they moved the Junos around then. I mean, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think that really helps bring some awareness. I mean, it's a huge country. And if you're not traveling the country, then we've got to do something to kind of bring the country to each person. So are you doing music full time, or do you have to supplement with other work? Are you able to make a career in music?
In Saskatchewan, it's a little tougher to get the market. You know, we're still a little bit off to the side of everyone else in the mainstream market. So a lot of us do have to have day jobs as well. I do public service with the city, just do community work, dealing with the community a lot. The arts side, it depends on the year. Last year was pretty lucrative, actually, surprising given the pandemic. I did pull in some nice royalties because people stayed home and turned on the radio for a change. So it was nice that way. Now I've seen a little bit of a change and a drop in that because people are going back to work and anxious to get out there and, you know, get back into their normal routine. So
that's right. Yeah, I know around here, I mean, I'd mentioned the Griffin Brothers. I went out to see them last night and I'm interviewing them next week. They're going to be on an upcoming show. But yeah, it seems to be those guys and a lot of other people that I've talked to on the show. James Anthony said all of a sudden he got about 10 calls in one day and everybody's opening up and everybody's scrambling to get acts and get staff hired. And, you know, and I think let's try to capitalize in the summer as much as they can, especially for a lot of these patio places and things like that. Important for sure. Did you do a lot of virtual shows during the lockdowns?
Not a lot. It was new to me, and I'm so used to having either an audience there, doesn't matter the size. I'm so used to being on a stage that it just didn't seem like I would have been able to fully connect. I don't want to sound cliche, but it didn't seem real until I just gave it a shot. And then I was like, I've been missing out on this. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. I did one virtual show. I mean, I've never been much of a performer anyways. I've been more into the writing. I've always played in bands as a support person. But yeah, I kind of thought the same thing initially at first. I thought, oh my gosh, I hope this isn't the future of music. But then some people really started to do it well, put on some really great virtual shows, and it became much more interactive. And depending on, you know, what kind of setup you had, you'd get a great sound and a great connection. I think I'd made that comment on one of the earlier shows. I mean, you almost, and it does become interactive. I mean, you know, it's got to be weird. There's that delay when you finish your song and then there's nothing, and then everybody unmutes and everybody cheers and then everybody mutes again. But it's just different. But yeah, I tell you, when I sat out there last night and in the middle of a crowd, and it wasn't a crowd, everybody's nicely spaced and they did it well. But just that energy, you're right. I mean, there is, and it isn't cliche. I think it's just the reality. I mean, it's better being with people and around people, and the music has a different energy when it's live and when you're hearing it close up like that. So what sort of schooling and education was it kind of with you once you discovered music? And I always like to ask people this, was it like, boy, this is my life? Was there a point where you said, this is what I want to do? Or did you always think you'd have to have a plan B? Or was it just, I'm all in?
Well, at heart, I've always wanted to be all in, but the reality said otherwise. You know, you still have a son to raise, you still have a house to pay for, and not every year is going to be the same exact dollar amount. So I did have to, you know, I do want my family to have a great life as well. So this isn't just a hobby. At first I thought it would be, but the way it took off, started to develop over the years, I thought, you know what, I need to hang on to this. I'll still work, but this is what I want to do full time eventually when I'm done my public service. This will be my retirement, my semi-retirement career to supplement my other career if I have to supplement this one. So this has always been part of life as one of the incomes. Arts career is basically it. Yeah.
Now you mentioned, I think earlier, you're saying that, you know, during the lockdown, everybody's listening to the radio and you know, streaming and stuff like that. And you're actually making some royalties, but do you find, I mean, I guess we're only going back to sort of the 2012, I think you said, when you first started playing in bands, and certainly things have changed. It's not like 20 years ago where, you know, royalties could set you up for life, but are you finding it that there is still some money to be made on royalties?
Absolutely there is. It comes down to knowing how to market to stay afloat. gone are the days of just throwing an album at the local radio show, and then boom, everything happens overnight. But now you have to really market yourself. You got to get out there and somewhat almost peddle your wares. Not so much like a vacuum salesman, but more about promoting yourself as your own publicist, your own record label, your own agency, basically. And people take you seriously once you start doing that because they know how invested you are. So there is something to be said about marketing yourself, and the returns they do reflect in the royalties later on in the year.
I thought that we could talk for a while. I guess that fell through. Well, I believe in moving on like the weather rolling through. You're feeling like you lost it all, like you finally come undone.
Just listening to Road Ahead, another great song by Dale Mack. Now, what about upcoming shows, projects, things? What are you working on? Are you going to be out with a band or just out playing solo? Or
We're still being quite careful. I do have a drummer. He's also working with youth, so he's very careful. Our bassist, he's also my co-writer. he's still working as well on the road, driving just to make ends meet during the pandemic, things like that. Things are a little tighter. But we do have a show coming up in 2 weeks. We're practicing for the Regina Folk Fest. That's one of my bucket list items. It's been years since I've been wanting to play there, so I'm really thankful for their support and giving us a shot. We're going to be going as a duo, myself and the bassist, Todd Wakefield. They do have to follow health restriction guidelines, and we're cutting down on numbers on stage, so it's a duo this year. So we're going to do our set duo, and it's going to be mostly new songs, with one or two songs from the last album.
Nice. That'd be great. Any plans to come? I mean, once things, hopefully things will open up, and border restrictions and things like that. Any plans to sort of tour across the country? Any plans to come here to Ontario?
I'd love to go east. I've been just trying to break borders as far as networking contacts, venue contacts, artist contacts. I do have a few out there now, but then obviously 2020 happened. So we're going to stay in touch. We're going to try and do some shows. I've been invited to Montreal for a gig, Ottawa as well. So I'm going to try and break some borders that way and hit out that way.
Nice. Well, that's great. I hope I get a chance to see you, and hopefully I get a chance to travel your way again as well. We had a son late in life, and so we wanted to kind of take him back across the country. We've done the trip several times ourselves, both by car and by plane. And so it'd be nice to have him kind of, you know, see the country. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to doing that and meeting other artists. So it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm glad I got to become aware of you, and I look forward to hearing a lot more of your music. What about artists that you're following? You know, who are some people that you want to throw some shout outs to? We're going to be playing some music on the show, not just your music, but some music from other artists. Who are some people you'd like to sort of put on our radar?
Sure. I'm a huge fan of my very dear friend, Terry Uyarak from Iglulik Island. He put out an album last year, which was nominated for a Juno. One of his songs that I really like listening to is called Inuit Nunaganit. I highly recommend that. It's a very Canadiana. He's got the acoustic going and whatnot. He tells stories about his land. It's beautiful music. Another one that I've really listened to was East Coast Sound, more of the indigenous East Coast sound. Mike Byrne from Holistic Territory in New Brunswick. I think that's where it is. He's got some great songs coming out of there. Another one was my late friend, my dear friend Kelly Frazier, a pop singer from up north. She would also sing about just bring awareness to Indigenous rights and issues that are still going on. She put her heart into it, her heart and soul into it. Great, great pop music coming out of that came out of her her area. So a lot of the Indigenous market I really dove into in the last few years. Before was all the usual favorites, right? Great Big C, Big Wreck, Big Sure, Canadian bands, right? The Hip and right. Things like that. True Canadian influences. But I didn't want to overlook the Indigenous contributions as well.
Of course. No, that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, good. We'll look for those artists, and we'll hear some of that music on the show, like I said. So, I mean, you brought up Kelly Frazier, is that? Sorry?
That's right.
Yeah. And singing about, you know, Indigenous rights and things. So obviously there's been a lot of people who, you know, are posting supportive things and, you know, wearing orange shirts and, mm-hmm. you know, flags are flying at half mast and things like that. But mm-hmm. they're not, I mean, those are nice gestures, but they're not going to really change some things. I mean, mm-hmm. obviously we need to educate ourselves and put pressure on politicians. But sort of what are some things that you think we should be doing as a nation?
Just keep going on the path of this has been said a million times. Keep going on the path of reconciliation, and that means feeling awkward. I've experienced that a lot when people bring up awkward conversations. The person feeling awkward changes the topic right away. You know, once we get past that awkwardness, it becomes common conversation, and we can move forward together. I do that as part of my role at work as well, do internal education and awareness. You know, I make, it's not my intention, but colleagues who haven't been raised around this reality of ours, they feel awkward with these conversations. And the more we not throw it in people's faces, but just say, this is our life too. Let's work together and see each other as partners and support each other as best we can. That's where true conversations take place and education becomes just second nature in that area. And understanding helps to prevent any recurrences, and it ends stigmas and stereotypes.
That's great advice. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Well, Dale, I look forward to carrying on this conversation probably in the fall, and when you've got some more music out and when you're out playing a little bit more, and we'll kind of catch up with you and see how things are going. I look forward to that very much. And I thank you for your time on this show.
Thank you, Stuart, for everything. And I look forward to chatting with you again.
So where can we find Dale Mack? Tell us about your socials.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can find me on my website, dalemack.com. Straightforward, just like that. Type it in. You'll see links to the music, any news like that. I just recently updated my website this past spring when I thought, you know what? I need to put out a single. So I put out a single in honor of Father's Day, father's relationships with their sons. I wrote a story about a son and his father and just growing up over time and seeing the memories and the generations in there. Check that out. I got more music on the way as well. You can find me on YouTube. I've got some links to my old songs there, my last album, upcoming performances. I'm on Spotify as well. You can send me a link there. Every like counts. I do get some recognition for those. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Dale Mack Music on Twitter. Dale Mack Music on Facebook. And Dale Mack 2017 on Instagram. I need to update that title and make it Dale Mack Official or something like that. So
yeah, perfect. Well, that's great. Okay, so look for Dale Mack. He's everywhere, and soon we'll be hopefully in a town near you. Awesome. Thank you once again, Dale.
Thank you again, Stuart.
Mother dried her eyes when she fixed your tie. I dried my own when you told me goodbye. We never thought you would ever grow up so fast. We tried our best to make these moments last. Now it's hard to look each other in the eye, and somehow I love you just doesn't suffice. I just wanna cry. I stood outside your empty room once more. Part of me listened for you playing on the floor. Our distant hearts has me asking where I went wrong. Hey, do you remember when we danced to that silly song? But now it's hard to look each other in the eye, and somehow I love you just doesn't suffice. I just wanna cry. Your little one playing on the floor. I wonder if you would ask me for advice. You know, a daddy's love for his child would never lie. I wonder if we would look each other in the eye. I'd be so proud of you, I wouldn't reply. cause I'd wanna cry.
That was the latest single from Dale Mack called Moments Last. What a beautiful song. We're going to hear one more song from Dale, a song called Rise Again, and then we're going to play a few songs from some of the artists that he had mentioned earlier in the show, including Terry Ulirak, Kelly Fraser, Mike Byrne, and Tegan Littlechief. I hope you've enjoyed this week's show, and we look forward to seeing you again on Musicians FAQ. This is Stuart McKee.
rök att inga si får el i det tinne manna mo inutit att
know in Nunavut we need a lot of things. How come we do this when we don't know what it could bring? Rich men want honey and buy our land. They're the ones with money who know they can. We don't even have enough money to compete. Barely have enough food to eat. I'll fight for my land and I won't back down. We can't take it back next time around. They make money off of our needs. Our culture is the one that bleeds. The animals won't recover from the mine. Our land will become the scene of a crime. Then we're left with nothing left to die. So here I am asking, asking you why. Fight for the rights of our people. Fight for the rights of our people. For our people, for our future people. Fight for the rights of our people. Fight for the rights of our people. For our people, for our future people.
the setting sun, especially today. On the anniversary of when you passed away. Through all my
Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. And thank you once again to my very special guest, Dale Mack. All of the music that was featured on today's show is easily accessible. I found it on Spotify. I hope you take the time to look up some of this music yourself. Some great music and some great artists. And I was very proud to have them featured on the show this week. I also wanted to give a very special shout out to John P. Brenner, who does a weekly show on The Groove on Saturday afternoon, and he features a lot of very fantastic local musicians. He's also featured some of my music on there. So John does his show every Saturday afternoon, The Groove on CKWR. Thank you, John P. Brenner. You're doing a great job. Hope you continue for a long, long time.
You've got to love yourself before you love anybody else.